Welcome to another edition of Quest Point in the Mix. I'm Richard Andrews, your host, and today very fortunate to have a conversation with Kevin Hopkins. Kevin is a veteran environmental expert. He was a staff advisor for the White House during the Reagan years, and he has had a number of prominent positions in the area of policy. Most recently, he has been involved with the National Organization on Disability, the Pacific Institute, Stephen Covey, Rich Dad, Poor Dad Education, Robert Kiyosaki, really just a diverse background in economics, in the environment. Kevin, welcome to Quest Point in the Mix.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, listen, I know that your organization that you're involved with is doing some really exciting things in the green space, and I wanted to talk about that today with you, Echo Institution, and wanted to find out how you got involved with them and a little about your background and how you got into the environmental field.
Great. Well, I'd be happy to talk about that. And for those of you who would like to follow up after the conversation, be sure to check out our website at greenconsultant.com, and you can learn a lot more detail than we'll be able to go through in this brief session here today. But the Eco Institution, as Richard mentioned, is an organization, a training organization, that is designed to help people learn how they can consult with homeowners and businesses so they can help them to green up their homes and workplaces, both for the purposes of saving them money on their energy and water bills, and also for making a positive contribution to the environment in a way that will make a real difference. Richard asked me to describe briefly how I got started into this, and I'll give a short version because the long version would take more time than we have for this program, I'm afraid. But I worked in the policy space for 25 or 30 years, both academically and in the political and government sector, and actually was a trained economist and began my career as an economist and economic analyst. And I had the good fortune to be able to work in the White House during the Reagan administration, and environmental and energy issues were very important at that time. As you may recall, during the late 1970s, we had a major energy crisis during the Carter administration that was much worse than anything that we faced in the years since. And we heard proposals coming out of Washington, D.C. for things like no-drive days and home temperature regulations and things like that, really intrusive proposals that would dramatically affect not only our quality of life, but also the freedoms that we've taken for granted. And it was understandable. Those were desperate times, but it just struck me that in a world that had so many resources as we have, that could not have been the appropriate answer. And so I began to explore the energy and environmental issues. And in the White House, I worked on the Cabinet Council on Economic Affairs, where energy issues were one of our top concerns. And so I became interested in that and worked later for the White House Science Office and have worked on those issues for a long time. But the issues after President Reagan deregulated natural gas and removed a lot of the energy controls, and after the oil started flowing from the east again, the energy crisis of the late 1970s almost disappeared overnight, and for the next 20 years or so, the issue sort of fell off the table. But
you're there again.
Yeah, and we're here again because now the focus is not so much on energy, although there has been some emphasis, especially in the campaign, presidential campaign between Obama and McCain, where they talked about energy independence. But the real focus these days has been on environmental issues. It's actually the same set of issues as before. It's just that the leading edge is the environmental damage. And there's obviously huge debate, even in the news this week, over the climate change issue and the validity of the science behind it. And that's an important discussion. But all of us know that regardless of whether climate change is correct or incorrect scientifically, generating huge volumes of pollution and using all of our energy resources sometimes to ill effect is not good for the planet, it's not good for the people who live here, and not, certainly not good for generations ahead. But the other important aspect and what we as an institution are focused on is the effect of people on the ground.
Right.
People in their homes and their businesses who can't afford to pay their energy bills. And there's a philosophy that has sort of been an undercurrent in this debate that you just have to make do with less, that you have to cut back, that you have to change your lifestyle. And there's a couple of problems with that approach. The first problem is that it hurts people and businesses and really harms their quality of life. But the second problem is that we need answers that will be implemented, and people, by and large, are not going to change their quality of life for the ill. So what we have to do is come up with ways that we can promote energy conservation, water conservation. That is our focus as an institution, is training people to make those choices that will help them not only protect the environment, but also to save money that's valuable to their homes and businesses. Obviously, there are a lot of things the government can do, but as individuals, we don't have control over what the government does. We are not going to create massive R&D programs for alternative energy sources, but we can save energy and water in our own homes if we know how to go about it in a way that will actually work and that will not require dramatic changes in our lifestyle. And that's what our consultants are trained to do, is to provide that kind of assistance on an ongoing basis to homeowners and business owners.
So thus is the purpose and the objective of ECHO Institution, is to give individuals that capability. Tell me more about that program, or how ECHO Institution is going to work and how you wound up being there.
Well, the program, we are a training organization, and so we provide training. We are not a franchise. We're not a company that hires consultants. We provide training to people who want to add this field of service to their portfolio. Our primary clientele are people who are already in the home service business,
okay,
who want to add another source of income and another source of service to their existing portfolio. So you'll have like real estate agents or electrical contractors or interior designers, people who deal with homeowners and business owners on a regular basis and who want to add a layer of service for a couple of reasons. One, they can charge for these green consulting services and make more money, or they can just use it as a means of strengthening their ties with the customer. For instance, a realtor obviously can make tens of thousands of dollars if he or she sells a home. And so the few hundred dollars that they might make over the course of the year in selling green consulting services might not be that relevant to them, or might not be as relevant as solidifying the relationship with the customer, so that when the customer does want to sell their home, they'll go to this real estate agent because that real estate agent has provided such valuable service. So
what's the difference between this program that ECHO Institution is offering, this is certifying individuals as a green consultant, am I correct?
Yes.
So what's the difference between this and, let's say, the program that or programs that PG&E offers, or I think Green Irene. There's another firm, Inogen, which is a British firm, I guess, is selling more franchises. How does your program or certification or training differ?
Well, you're actually talking about three different business models there, and I'll go through all of them briefly. And I will say, first of all, that these are all good programs, and they're very valuable in that they provide a good service. All of them are aimed in one way or another at promoting energy and sometimes water conservation, helping people to live in a more green-friendly fashion, helping them to be able to take steps that will save them money in their homes and businesses, and all of that is good. So we support and embrace those efforts. The market is certainly big enough that there it can support a large number of players, and so we applaud their efforts. That said, there are some distinctions between what we provide and what they provide. And I'll look at all three of the examples that you gave. The utility companies have long been in the energy auditing business, and they provide a very valuable service. There are a couple of aspects to that that are important. Typically, utility energy audits are an in-and-out type of service. They go in, they make an assessment, they give the recommendations, and then they leave. And that's the end of it. They don't have an interest in an ongoing relationship with a client because people are going to buy gas
and
electricity anyway.
Right.
They have to. Not only do they have to, but in most communities it's monopoly, so to buy it from the company in place. Second, most people are... I shouldn't say most, but a large number of people are very suspicious of utilities. It's
now, why would they be? I wonder why.
Well, I mean, it's in some sense like tobacco companies promoting anti-smoking programs or alcohol companies saying don't drink.
Don't drink and drive.
Obviously, there's some genuine motivation behind those, but ultimately, utilities want to sell more energy.
Right.
And so the idea of them going in and encouraging people to pay them less money is greeted with some degree of suspicion on the part of people. So so you don't have quite the level of buy-in from most clients that you otherwise would have. If you talk about the British organization, they are creating a large organization where they train and manage the people who are in this profession. They, in essence, I don't want to say hire the people because it's more like a franchise in the McDonald's model,
right,
but the people that they hire, that they train and make part of their franchise, have to operate according to specific standards. That's a good thing in that it provides for uniformity, but it's a model that works only if this is all those people do. If the people are purely energy consultants or energy auditors, then that's appropriate that they would follow the standards that this company sets. But that's not what the market is. It's a little bit like a supplier of goods, trying to dictate what a retailer of its goods does. So, for instance, Sony makes electronics equipment, and they sell their electronics equipment through places like Best Buy.
Right.
Well, Sony cannot dictate Best Buy's store hours or signage or anything like that. They just supply the products. And in the same way, most of the people who are green consultants or eco-consultants or energy advisors, whatever term you want to use, most of those people have other businesses. And so they are not going to want to adhere to standards that may conflict with their own standards and practices in their real estate business or their interior design business.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that case, you have a model that's very restrictive, and you're not going to be able to capture the largest group of people who want to go into this field. And quite frankly, right now, unless you're really aggressive, bring consulting as a supplemental business to other home services. It will grow, it will become much larger over time, but it will work best in a business model sense if it's a supplement to existing home services. And so the people who add it on to their existing practice are going to be a lot more successful. And that's why we promote that kind of business model rather than go create your own business and sell the service to other people. Because the market's still very young, and most people don't even know what energy consulting or eco-consulting is. So it will take time for people to learn about that. And so those individuals who already have an ongoing practice of some kind will be much more successful and much more satisfied and deliver much better services. So that's that model. Mm-hmm. And then finally, you mentioned Green Irene. Green Irene is a very aggressive and dedicated company, and they actually have very very good training materials from what I've been able to see. They're very committed. This is something that their people have spent a lot of time on, and their offerings are quite good. They have a different focus, however. Their focus is basically to sell green products. They sort of operate on the Tupperware model, in the best sense of the word. They hold parties in neighborhood homes where they are able to demonstrate and sell products like aerators or programmable thermostats or low flow shower heads or other products like that. And so they're mostly a product focused company. That's good. And all of these are important elements. But what's missing in all of these equations is the notion of individual behavior. New products can make a difference, and energy audits can make a difference. If you know that you need more insulation or something like that, or weather stripping, that's important. But ultimately, what makes the most difference in conserving energy and water is behaviors. And often people just need to become aware of what kind of behaviors are most effective. And they also need to have an ongoing relationship, not only because that relationship provides the most credibility, and if they have credibility with the parties providing the advice, they're much more likely to implement. That's an important aspect of it. But people are very confused a lot of times by energy or water issues or home improvement issues in general. And any situation, if you don't know what you're doing, you're likely not to try to do it. And so our consultants are there on an ongoing basis to provide that kind of service when it's most needed. And so we're not a one-shot, come in, do an audit, go away. We emphasize to our trainees, to our consultants, that the most effective way to provide service is to provide an ongoing service.
So tell me about the course. Is it a course that I need to go? I know the company's based in Southern California, in San Diego. Do I need to go to San Diego to take the course? Or if I want to become a green consultant with eco institutions, or how do I go about it? What do I have to do?
Well, having lived for several years in San Diego myself, I would say that you never need an excuse to go to San Diego. It's always a good day to go to San Diego.
Sounds like you're working for the San Diego Convention and Visitors Bureau Kevin.
I have worked with the San Diego Convention and Visitors Bureau before. But that said, our course is purely an online course, and so you don't need to go anywhere but your computer in order to take our course. And that's a great advantage because a lot of courses that are offered in this field require people to go to a certain location. People are just too busy these days, especially if they're operating a business. With the retrenchments that have taken place, the inability to hire additional staff and things like that, most business owners simply don't have excess time on their hands where they can go sit in a class for 2 or 3 days running. And so we offer the ability for people to take these courses at their own pace, at their own location, in whatever attire they desire to be wearing. So we save them a lot of time, And that makes it easier for them to actually sit for the course. They can also review the course materials a lot more easily because they can go back over it. We provide assessment mechanisms throughout. So after each module that they take, they get assessed. They take a quiz. They find out what they know, what they don't know. They can go back over and review it and take it again if they feel like they need to. And we also provide online email assistance if they have technical questions. So it's actually the best of both worlds.
How long does it take to complete the program? Now, I understand you also are the author. You were the curriculum developer of this program. Am I not right?
Yes, that is true. But I don't want to, the approach that we take is based on best practices in the industry.
Okay.
And in fact, the co-author of the course has spent 20 years in the utility industry, working very closely with utility representatives who conduct energy audits in Southern California as well. And so this is not just my opinion. In fact, it is very little my opinion. The course itself is based on decades of best practices. In terms of the time that it takes to take the course, typical experience is that people will go through a couple of modules a week simply because that's all the spare time they have. But there is no specific requirement one way or another. They can get through it in a couple of weeks if they dedicate themselves wholeheartedly, or they can stretch it out over 2 or 3 months or longer if they want. It's totally up to them.
I know that when I first started my conversation with your organization, I was pretty thrilled to see something like this because it really is addressing a need out there, both from the standpoint of homeowners and people who want to go green and as you say, get their green on. I like
yes.
that word. As well as giving career seekers and an opportunity to pursue this industry. How would someone get involved?
They go to greenconsultants.com.
Well, Kevin, I want to say thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to share some insight with us with respect to this new program. As I said, I think it's great, the work that you're doing and the opportunity for people to pursue this as on an entrepreneurial basis or as a potential career for themselves. And I just wanted to ask if there are any other comments or thoughts or suggestions that you might want to make for someone who would want to pursue this or any other thoughts that you want to share with our listeners today.
Well, just a couple of thoughts. I appreciate that opportunity. This is an important issue, and it's an important issue regardless of one's political beliefs or regardless of how the climate change debate proceeds. It's an important issue because the economics of energy and water use are going to only become more grueling for homes and businesses and other organizations. It's an area that's going to become much more complicated. The federal government is launching a nationwide retrofit program, and so this is going to be a major emphasis of the Obama administration. We're going to be hearing a lot more about it. Certain issues like cap and trade, if that passes, has enormous implications for people. And so being able to understand that and understand how it applies to one's individual life makes this from just an idle interest to really essential knowledge for running a home or running a business. From the consultant's standpoint, it's important to emphasize that this business isn't for everyone. It's not a get-rich-quick scheme. It's not something where people can go out and start making huge amounts of money. It takes a lot of work.
Sure.
And it takes a lot of knowledge. And it's really important for people to assess whether this is something that they want to do as a profession or as a sideline to their existing business. Because the customers that they recruit are going to be depending on the consultants to provide them with legitimate, honest, and credible information. And so it's important that people decide that they want to go into this profession or add this portfolio of services to their existing practice, not just because they want to make money, but because it's something that they want to do and because they're committed both to the cause of protecting the environment, more importantly, to helping their clients and building a better relationship with their clients. If they go into this and they view this from a long-term perspective, they will find, the consultants will find, that it is a very valuable add-on main line of business, and they will be happy and their clients will be happy as well.
Well, there you have it, Kevin Hopkins, on this edition of In the Mix.
When you hear that sound.